I don't remember whether I have been here at the cathedral during the Easter season or not, but I observe a very ancient practice of the church which held that every Easter sermon should start with a joke. The joke is on death. We have turned the tables. God has turned the tables, and we can laugh and celebrate and enjoy. Be joyful. And so in that spirit, today I have a true story for you. This is a clipping from a newspaper, and my clipping has become separated from the name of the newspaper. So if anyone recalls this and can supply the name, I'd be grateful. But some of you may remember it anyway, but it was, I believe, about 2 years ago that a small East Texas town had a little bit of national news coverage when the local bar owner started to get the idea he needed to expand his bar. And so he applied for a permit, of course, to the city government. And the local Baptist church took great exception to this development. And they began to protest and to picket and to hold prayer vigils and to generally make a big ruckus in this little town against the expansion of the bar. But in the end, they were unsuccessful, as you might imagine, and the building proceeded. And about 1 week before the grand reopening of the bar was scheduled, it was struck by lightning and burned to the ground. The Baptist said it was a sure sign of answered prayer. The bar owner saw it a little differently, but the more he thought about it, the more chagrined he became, and so he sued the local Baptist congregation. And the language of the pleading was quite eloquent. He claimed that the demise of the bar was ultimately responsible, the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of the building through direct actions or indirect means. Of course, the church denied any responsibility. And so as the trial opened, the judge made this comment: "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that what we have here is a bar owner who now believes fervently in the power of prayer, and an entire congregation that now does not." You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you know. But whatever all that was about, we have not changed our convictions or our belief in the risen Christ. And whether we are currently experiencing Easter in our lives or not, we celebrate because we know that God has given us the ultimate victory. Jesus has shown us on the cross his unshakable belief that God is with us in our deepest need, in our greatest and most unimaginable suffering. Jesus shows us that this belief will be vindicated. Resurrection is always coming to us, no matter what. I've always thought this seventh Sunday of Easter is a little peculiar because we've celebrated the Ascension. The Spirit's not yet been given, and we're just sort of hanging out here, wondering where we are in time and space. And it's a good moment, to ask ourselves the question of how the Easter season is going to shape us, how it's going to make a difference in our lives. This season is what defines us as the followers of Jesus, believing that resurrection is always coming. The theological word for that belief is hope. Easter is about the victory of hope over the worst the world has to offer. Hope is at the heart of the story of God's people, the people of Israel who had to live in hope while wandering through the wilderness. They had to imagine and live into a future that was not yet present. They didn't know exactly how it would look, but their present circumstances were not encouraging. Yet Jesus proclaims a reign of God that is already but not yet, a victory that is always breaking into our lives, but is not yet fully known except through the eyes of hope. Dr. Susanna Singer is a theologian at one of our Episcopal seminaries, the Church Divinity School of the Pacific on the West Coast. And I recently heard her speak, and what she reminded me about is that hope always requires the faculty of imagination. She talked about imagination as the capacity to see what is not yet present and to make connections between unlikely things. I don't know about you, but some of my biggest resurrection moments have been connections between unlikely things. You never see it coming. You can't predict it. It breaks upon you unexpectedly. Just like a joke depends on the unexpected, resurrection breaks in with the unexpected. Imagination does for the life of faith what Shakespeare talks about the poet doing for creative ideas. Dr. Singer says that this work is to make it real, particular, incarnated, fresh, and alive in the here and now. And she rewrote a few lines of Shakespeare, which originally referred to poets, to say this: as imagination bodies forth, great language, bodies forth the forms of things unknown, the Christian's hoping rather than the poet's pen, she substitutes, the Christian's hoping turns them to shapes and gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name. A local habitation and a name. What wonderful language to talk about the incarnational nature of hope and resurrection. God did not raise some vague person or group from the dead. God raised Jesus, a specific body who had a local habitation, a neighborly habitation, and a name. Wherever you are in most pain or desolation in your life, Easter should fairly shout to you that it is precisely in this place that resurrection is approaching. If you have the eyes of hope to imagine it and the desire to open your heart to it, God is doing for you what God did for Jesus, giving victory over the worst the world can do. This does not mean, sadly, that there will be a wand to take your troubles away. It does not mean that whatever you dream up will magically come to pass. I hate that one because I'm really good at dreaming things up. It doesn't mean that, though. It does mean that Christian hope knows that God is always coming to us with healing and new life if we will nurture that possibility. Resurrection is always coming toward us. We have to ask ourselves, why wouldn't we all sign up for that resurrection coming toward us? What keeps us out of the zone that can see resurrection approaching? I'm sure there are lots of ways, but I'd like to highlight two. One that I see a lot, one of the ways in which we close down our hopeful imagination, is to define the present reality as all there is. This is how it is. I refuse to visualize a different future. And another way we lose hope is to define a particular set of circumstances as the only option and insist that if God loves us, God will deliver exactly what we have defined. I see this second one at work sometimes when I'm working with a conflicted congregation, a conflicted vestry. There are usually at least two, if not more, versions of where we need to go, all tidied up in a bundle. And if the bishop would just see the wisdom of my bundle and tell everybody else to fall in line, everything would be fine. I see that a lot. I do that a lot. It's human. But hope is so much more vast than either of those perspectives. Hope can never anticipate exactly what resurrection will look like. But it keeps looking for signs of resurrection in every new moment and every new thought and every new encounter. Hope prays for eyes to see and a heart to discern. As the dean told you, we had the blessing of a wonderful group of candidates for confirmation this morning. They are a lively group, and I encourage you to get to know them if you ever wonder about the future of the church. It is well and good and flourishing, and in that group it could be seen with a local habitation and a name. There they were. But part of the commitment that they make is to promise to live always in resurrection hope. This is what they're signing up for. And when they and we reaffirmed our baptismal vows, we were all reminded that at baptism we pray that God will bestow upon us a number of things. The one I would highlight today is the gift of joy and wonder in all God's works. Joy and wonder are the fruits of living in hope. Joy and wonder are the fruits of not knowing exactly what's coming, of being willing to be surprised, being willing to embrace that twist at the end that gives us a whole new perspective. Dr. Singer says this: the resurrection is the ultimate expression of hope because it is both achieved once and for all, and it demands to be claimed imaginatively and practically, to be continually enacted through our individual and shared life in Christ. So on this seventh Sunday of Easter, when we're sort of hanging here, you have to decide, how will resurrection play in your life? Will you claim it imaginatively in how you allow a breadth of opportunities for God to act? Will you claim it practically in how you daily look for signs of God at work in unexpected events and circumstances, in oddly disconnected things? Will you keep your heart open so that hope and imagination may make a home there? It can be hard to see signs of resurrection in the immediate, painful moment. New life is often obscured by these very real veils we have: grief or pain, anger, loss, suffering. All those things are real, and we all experience them from time to time. We celebrate Easter season together. We all get up on Sunday and come here. We come together. And the reason we do that, because together, as God's people in the world, we are able to see the risen Christ. We are able to stand with one another, even in the darkness, and announce to one another that the dawn is coming. ask yourself, how am I doing as a local habitation of hope? A habitation with a name. Jesus prays to the Father that his joy might be fulfilled in us. His joy might be fulfilled in us. And in order for that to work, fruit as the joy of hope as the joy of fruit, in order for that to happen, we have to give attention to our local habitation, each of us individually as well as our community. And so in this season of joy, we come together again and again, even in this odd Sunday of in between, and we learn again that resurrection is our inheritance and our glory. It's wonderful hymns we are singing about the glory of God in Christ. This is our inheritance. This is our glory. And we pray that God will grant that our imagination in hope will help us claim it practically in every moment, because resurrection is always coming toward us. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.